Eric Raines alongside Rita Blue. How are you, Rita?
Hey, what are you doing? Or how are you doing?
I'm doing good. We haven't actually talked in, like, when?
Well, we talked yesterday, but did that count?
I don't think that counts because I said don't answer any questions. We'll talk about it today.
Well, probably since around Christmas, maybe.
I know, it's been a while.
Well, definitely not since you got home from Music Fest.
Yeah, it's been forever. So, we thought we're going to start working on this, and we knew we'd move forward on a few things into the new year, but first of all, with a podcast, and Rita was like, what are we going to call our podcast? And I said, how about Rita and Rain? How's that?
You know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. So, for people that haven't heard us in a while, what have you been doing? You moved to, and it's not Fort Worth. We keep saying, Rita moved to Fort Worth, but you're not in Fort Worth.
We're not in Fort Worth. We're 14 miles away from downtown Fort Worth. We're technically in Crowley, Texas, but it's easier to say Burleson because we're literally right. Two streets over from the Burleson County line or city limit sign. So while my house is in Crowley, I tell people I live in Burleson.
Well, that's like, I don't tell people I live in Austin, but I live in Salado because I have to explain where Salado is. So sometimes it's much easier to say that. I get that.
Yeah, it's easier to say Fort Worth.
Right. Your husband took the new fancy big job, got the fancy new house. Are you completely moved in? All the boxes?
No.
Unpacked?
I wish I could say that my beautiful house was all decorated and had everything hung up and I had the bedrooms set up and everything was complete, but that would be a big fat lie. For the most part, everything's unpacked. We got new furniture for our living room, so we didn't have to unpack that. We took the old stuff and put it upstairs. Yes, I said upstairs because I have an upstairs now.
Check you out.
An upstairs that I've been up three times. Three times I've been up there. Like, there's nothing that I need up there. My husband turned the entire thing into a man cave. He's got his own bathroom. He's got his own room where he has his gym equipment set up in. Then he's got his own area where he can play video games.
You're about a year from sleeping in different beds like the beavers.
Well, there's no bed up there. There's no bed up there.
Oh, okay.
But
that's coming.
He has his, his meditation room is up there.
You even sold me furniture to get rid of some of your stuff.
Yes, we had a massage chair that I bought just because some guy at the state fair, tried to say I had bad credit, and I just felt the need to show him that I didn't. So I bought a massage chair thinking I would use it, but I didn't, but I know that you and Terry would. So do you like it? Do you actually use it? Tell me the truth.
Every day.
Really?
Now, you know that chair is ugly, right?
It looks like a spaceship.
It does look like a spaceship. And here's the skinny on this. I went to Texas OU and had a few beverages, and I knew what the secret double probation bathroom is at Texas OU. And I went over there, and that's where I saw the chair about 2 weeks earlier than you went over there. And I sat in it and may have had an adult beverage or four before I went in there. And it was the most comfortable thing I've ever sat in my life. So Rita, I knew, was going to the state fair. I'm like, you don't want to know where the secret double probation bathroom is. And I told her, but I said, whatever you do,
don't go sit in there.
And you did.
I did.
And thanks for the chair.
Yeah.
It all worked out perfect for me.
Well, I'm glad that y'all are getting some use out of it because, like I said, my husband, maybe he used it a lot, but not enough to warrant having it. And we didn't have room for it here, and it just wouldn't fit in our new home.
It doesn't look pretty. It looks like a spaceship, and it's not something that, like in a formal living room that you would put in the living room. But to be perfectly honest, I knew if I put it in a different room, nobody would ever use it. So it's in the living room and everybody takes a ride on it. It's like it's the favorite thing to do when they come over the Rains. All right, enough about furniture. What have you been doing since you moved to Burleson, Fort Worth, Dallas? What's your world been like?
Absolutely nothing. I do nothing. I can't tell you the last time I've taken a shower, at least not this week. I shower and I put on a fresh pair of pajamas every day. I'm not working. I work on the weekends and, you know, that gives me something to do. But during the week, my husband's gone most of the time, but he also works from home. He just has a big area of places that he has to go. So a couple days a week he's here, a couple days a week he's out. I've really just kind of sat around. I have the TV schedule memorized. The Price is Right is the highlight of my day. When someone wins the money on the wheel, the $25,000 on the wheel, it makes my whole day. It's the best thing that could possibly happen.
It's like you want it, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm completely bonded. I watch Let's Make a Deal, and then that rolls into The Price is Right. Then we got all the judge shows. And then 4 o'clock is when all the real fun festivities begin. There's back-to-back-to-back episodes of Family Feud with Steve Harvey. And after that, we've got The People Puzzler, which is a new show on the Game Channel Network, which I am excellent at. I need to go to Hollywood and be on The People Puzzler show because I'm really good at it. And then that rolls into Jeopardy. Jeopardy rolls into Wheel of Fortune, and then your nighttime TV starts. So,
oh, wow.
It's really...
Are you still going to bed at, are you still going to bed like at 7 or 8 o'clock?
No, not anymore.
Right.
And,
do you miss getting up at 3:30 or 3 o'clock?
I don't miss my alarm clock. I haven't set it once since we moved here. And sometimes I'll roll over and check my phone just to see what time it is. And it's like 3:30. And I can't imagine. That used to be the time I woke up every day. I can't imagine that now. It's only been 4 months, but that seems like it was 40 years ago.
Well, I remember for a while there that I went to work in afternoons and not working in the morning and not doing the morning show. And it's like you almost have a life back. Now, I know you're bored, and it's sometimes... You're a made woman, though.
It's very isolating, because I don't have any friends up here. And everyone...
Well, you'll make them.
How? Grown people don't make friends like that. And that's not me feeling sorry for myself. It's just that there's a lot of points where, like, I'm 47 years old. I'm not going to go door to door and... People,
will you be my friend?
Will you be my friend? Because a lot of people my age have kids in school, and then you go to school activities, right. And then, you know, you go to school sports, and that's how you have your social group.
Sure.
I don't have that. And
well,
it's super
if I'm being really
sad.
Honest, I have about 4 friends that I hang out with, and I've lived in this area for how many years? Forever. So,
well, everyone says you can make friends to go to church, and well, we're just really not churchgoers. There's the...
hit the bar scene.
Yeah. I mean, no one wants to be the 47-year-old woman at the bar by herself in the middle of the day while her husband's at work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay. I would be okay watching TV all day. And I know
you're not used to
getting up.
Not having
I realize when you get
do,
up at 3 o'clock in the morning that it's hard to do when you haven't done that in a while.
I do enjoy sleeping in. I really spend a lot of time with my dogs. I have learned how to cook a few things.
Really?
Yeah, mostly in the air fryer, but, you know.
I knew that was coming.
I make some pretty good things in the air fryer. I put some pork ribs in the crock pot yesterday with a little seasoning, and we had pork ribs.
Do you even know what pork ribs are?
I can pick them out of the grocery store because that's the only place I go. But I still don't go alone. Wes and I go together.
Right. In other words, he helps you pick them out. He points you in the right direction.
I'm looking for recipes online, but for the most part, it's just I sit here, and I don't even go online that much because everyone's just angry and they're all fighting, and I just don't want to see it because I used to love Twitter, and now Twitter's just I miss Donald Trump on Twitter. At least he gave me some entertainment.
Well, you're about to get out of jail. You were in jail again on Facebook, right?
For 30 days.
Now, what did you do this time to get put in Facebook jail?
I will say probably in the past, I probably said some questionable things. The last time it was taken out of context that I got suspended. And I was only suspended for a week last time. And that was whenever, the gymnastic, what is her name?
The gymnast, Simone Biles.
Simone Biles had pulled out of the Olympics. And all I wrote was, if you talk bad about Simone Biles, I'll fight you.
Right.
Which is a common phrase that the kids say these days, you know, like, fight me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they said that was encouraging violence, so I got a 7-day suspension. I didn't think that was fair, but I got it. Things get taken out of context. But this time, I was completely in the right. There is no reason in the world I should have gotten suspended. Okay, so my friend from Gatesville, her name is Monita, and she's married to Tracy, and they own S&S Plumbing. And someone broke in.
Look at you. You're still getting the tags in there. Good job.
Yeah. Maybe they'll give me an endorsement. Yeah. So someone broke into their storage shed and stole all their equipment. And so he was trying to do a little bait. And he went on his Facebook and said, look, to whoever broke into our shed or our storage unit, we have you on camera. I'm giving you one opportunity to bring everything back, or I blast your pictures and name and photos on Facebook. That's what he said.
Oh, is it this when you went show it?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. It's just the same situation. I'm still on probation. I'm still on suspension for that. And so people were writing, go ahead. And all I wrote was, blast them. That's what I wrote. Because he wrote, we're going to blast your picture on Facebook. So I was agreeing
with
him.
That's not bad at all.
I wrote blast them.
Meaning put it everywhere.
Yeah, meaning put their name and picture on Facebook like you're saying you're going to do. In 24 hours, if they didn't come clean. Well, first of all, the meth heads are not in Gatesville, are not coming clean. They're not going to be like, okay, our bad. You Facebook message shamed us, so we're going to bring all your stuff back. So I didn't realize at the time that he didn't have any video at all. He was just trying to trick him. But either way.
He was trying to do the old good cop, bad cop thing where they tell you your friend has already told on you and they think it's going to work.
Yes.
And then you roll over.
So either way, I got 30 days suspension for inciting violence because I have a past history of it. Thanks, Simone Biles.
Well, I got in trouble on the air because I compared Antonio Brown to Simone Biles and everybody got upset with me.
Now, Antonio Brown?
He's a football player.
He's
the
guy that took all his clothes off and left the field?
Exactly. He quit in the middle of a game.
Or did he get fired in the middle of a game? What was the deal there?
Well, he got fired in the middle of the game because he quit. You know, he decided that. Everyone's saying, that guy's got some mental issues. I can't believe him. And they were mad at him and making fun of him. I'm like, Simone Biles says the exact same thing. She's dealing with some issues and she walks out. And she's Athlete of the Year on Time Magazine. Homeboy does it and he's being crucified.
He's a quitter.
I know it's not the same. Right.
Now, did he have a history of doing that in the past, though?
He, not walking out, but just being, you know, being a little different. And people like, everyone says, man, he's got some mental issues. Same thing with Simone Biles. I don't get it. Double standard.
So people...
He was a woman.
People attacked you?
Oh, yeah.
Like on the text
typical.
Line?
Don't read the text line.
You
It'll
know
hurt
what?
Your feelings.
I don't have the... The text line sign on anymore because my computer, I had to reset my computer. And so I lost all my passwords and I don't have it anymore. So I don't get to check it anymore.
We mentioned that Jimmy Carter was coming back and we mentioned that somebody was coming back to the show and a lot of people hit the text line. It would have been a good week for you because they were hoping it was you.
Oh, do people miss me?
People miss you, yes. Aww. Oh, yeah, of course they do. And they're glad that you're still on the radio doing all the commercials and helping and doing weekends. And of course, you know, I take off every other day here lately. So thank you for filling in.
Well, I have to say I really, 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 really got my feelings hurt when I wasn't invited on the Christmas Eve show. Not that I would admit that.
Oh, that's total bull butter. I called you and invited you.
No, you did not. You invited me to the Christmas party. Everyone else got an email.
Oh.
I did not. You personally invited me to the Christmas Eve show. But I didn't get invited to the Christmas Eve party show.
Rita.
You spent eight years of your life with some people, and you think that you'd be like, hey, Merry Christmas.
You know,
I didn't even get
you
to
know how that
Christmas.
Christmas Eve show goes.
I don't
you
care.
Know how that Christmas.
The first hour, first 5 minutes, I would have called in and said Merry Christmas.
That's about all you get.
That would have been fine, all. But no one asked me.
Okay, well, I'll go ahead and say I'm sorry. I should have asked
you. I know it's not your fault.
No, it's not. Well, could you know. I could have made it happen, and I didn't. But we did miss you on the Mountain Music Fest.
Yes. I haven't been in years, but it looked like it was a blast this year.
It was the worst travel that I've ever had
it
in my life.
It always is. Yeah. Every year, everyone goes, I'm not going back because it's so hard to get there. And every year, everyone goes because they have such a good time.
I had a blast getting up.
Did you have to rent the car and drive the scary three hours up the mountain into the dunes?
I rented two cars.
You rented two cars?
I rented two cars.
For you
yes.
and
First
your
First of
wife?
All, the whole family's with me. You know, that was a whole to-do. It's like, okay, I realize taking the family is an ordeal to start with because you work. And I'm not sure anybody, when you say, hey, I'm going to go to Music Fest for a week, they're thinking, oh, we know what you're doing up there in Colorado.
Oh, it's a lot of work.
And I'm saying it is a lot of work. So the airplane sat on the tarmac for a 7 o'clock flight for about 2.5 hours.
Oh, no.
You know, And that's always comfortable, all crammed in.
What do they tell you? Do they say, we're sorry?
Oh, there was a fan that was out. Their fan was not working in the cockpit. I'm like, well, that's not good. How about just a new plane instead of, we're going to try to fix it. And then 2 hours go by, and they're like, we know you're frustrated.
Do they give
you really
some snacks or something?
No, well, I think some snacks. We know you want to drag somebody down the aisle like the good old days, but no, just sit here. And so we sat there for 2.5 hours, and we left, and we got to Colorado.
Were there any famous people on your plane?
There were no. Well, we went.
That's always the best part was the flight, because all the famous people, like, you're 2 seats away from Kevin Fowler and 2 seats away from.
No, there really wasn't anybody on that flight. But I go a day early. I don't go the day they check in. And needless to say, we get there. And I'm like, cool, all right. Well, the worst part is over. And I get to the Hertz place, and the Hertz place did not have my reservation because I made it through.
In Denver. You're still far away.
Oh, you're 3.5 hours away from Steamboat Springs, Colorado. Flying to Denver, go over to that little, there's a little bitty shuttle, and it takes you over to the Hertz place. And I get over to Hertz. I'm like, here's my confirmation. Let's go. I'm excited. Family and dad's going to drive. We're all together. It's going to be the best vacation ever. And I get there, and they're like, well, I see your confirmation. It looks like that's the Hertz that's about 45 minutes across town.
Oh,
you booked the wrong
one.
That's
typical Eric Rades right there.
Yeah, it is. Something's
going to go wrong. That's going to be your fault that you did that.
So I say, okay, it's different Hertz. How about you just call them and you go ahead and credit the money over here? Same company, right? You think that would work? Nope. Won't work.
They didn't have a car.
You got to go over there. I said, all right, how about can your shuttle take me? Nope, that's not going to work either. And so now it's building because it's already kind of been a long day. It's building the frustration. And I see my kids and they're giving me the dad, what's going on? And people are behind me and a bunch of them and they're waiting.
You're that guy holding up the line.
Yeah, I'm that family and that guy. And then I say, all right, how about an Uber? I'll give me an Uber. Uber shows up.
Do you take the family with all the bags, or you just go by yourself and go get the car?
Everybody's with me in the Uber.
Oh, man, now, you just go by yourself and then pick them up at the airport.
Yeah, probably should have, but I was trying to get us all over. The Uber was too small. We had to say thank you, sorry.
You had to get all your luggage out of the Uber and get into another Uber.
Yes, and still pay them. Long story longer, now I'm done, and Expedia's not answering
the phone. What time is it? If you had to, like, about what time during the day?
Flight was supposed to leave Austin at 7:30. It did not leave till 12.
Oh,
now
so you're well into the evening.
I'm in the evening because sun goes down at 4 o'clock, and you do not want to be driving after about 4 when sun goes down.
Yeah.
So now Eric is cussing. It hurts. He's lost it to a nice young gentleman. And I rarely lose it. Totally lost
it. So you get across town to the Hertz, and then you show your ass and yell at people?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good for
I showed
you.
It all. And at the end of it all, Rita, I apologized to the guy. I said, no, I didn't help at all. It made me feel a little bit better for a second. Then my wife had to go, hey, there's kids around here. And I'm like, I don't give a blank, and I let it go again.
Oh, wow.
And then I felt dumb, kind of dumb. But yeah, so. They weren't going to give me my money back. Expedia is not. They don't like you to call anyway. They know that you're going to gripe. So they have it where you just keep going in a circle. And then finally, the guy that I was talking with, I apologized to him. I said, look, you're just doing your job. I know. I'm sorry. I got frustrated and moved on. So I back up and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't get over there. So I walk back over to another guy because guy I have just cussed through, I had to go take a break.
Oh, and new you ran guy, him out.
Yeah, new guy heard the whole thing. He goes, let me help you out. How about you just rent another car and then deal with that later? And I thought, well, that's the dumbest stuff I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, why don't I get some more of your money?
Exactly. So what did I do? Rented another car.
You're never going to go back. You're never going to take care of that second one, are you?
Oh, of course not.
Never.
So I get up the mountain, and it was a little...
But was it dark and scary?
It was dark and scary at the very end, and you've been dark and scary going up rabbit ears, so that was a bad time. But I get all the way, and finally we get into Steamboat. My hands are hurting because I'm white knuckling it the whole
clutching
time.
Clutching the steering wheel.
Yes, absolutely. I get up there, and
now,
I'm
semi-alive. Now, did you stop and allow your family to use the bathroom?
Yeah, we stopped at the Come and Go, which is I had to let my kids see it again because I got in trouble once because
that was on the credit card.
It showed up on the credit card, and my wife didn't believe me until we stopped at it on the way up there. So we get there. We're pulling into Steamboat. It's beautiful. It's a snow globe. It looks like Christmas, and I'm like, this is going to be great.
Now, had your family been before?
They have been there.
Oh, okay, okay.
But it's a little bit different because they didn't travel with me on that trip. They actually came later with some of our other friends, and I went by myself. So we all show up together, and I'm halfway laughing and kidding about it. I'm like, hey, look, the Ramada Inn here. I got a little room just in case, and I'm going by all these condos, and I'm in a good mood. And my wife finally looks and goes, why are you talking about that? And I went, because you know when we get to the hotel,
they're not going to have our room.
They're not going to have a room. And I'm just punch drunk by now.
Joking that could possibly happen.
There's no way it could happen. I've talked to everybody. I know the guy that owns Steamboat.
Owns the whole mountain.
Oh, yeah. So we get there, masks on, walk in. Next thing I know, I get to the counter, and I turn around, and I go, Eric Raines, here's my reservations, blah, blah, blah. And they're like,
yeah, for tomorrow.
Sorry, Mr. Raines, we don't have you reserved. We don't have you in our computer.
What? You had a confirmation number the whole thing?
I got it all. Didn't work. My kids are laughing at me. Wife, not laughing. Not happy at all. Anyway, it worked out. It was just a miscommunication. The travel part was terrible. The festival was phenomenal. And honestly, what I just described was not half of what some people had to deal with because it got really bad on Wednesday. There's a lot of people with the weather. They couldn't get in. They had to stay where they were because the weather was so bad. It got snowed in. Or, get this, airlines are having issues anyway. Their luggage got lost or was still at the airport when they left. And they were like, oh, we'll send your luggage to you. And they didn't get their luggage till almost the day before it ended.
Oh, was everybody stinky wearing the same outfits?
Same clothes every day. The merch place had to be happy because they were selling I like head t-shirts like crazy. That's Sundance Heads t-shirt.
But, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. But it was as if we hadn't seen each other in 10 years, the artists, the people that worked there, Dixon Productions. So that part of it was incredibly neat. We all knew what was going to happen when we got there. I mean, everywhere you turn, there was a must wear a mask. Every 6 feet, there was a put your mask on in the elevator, mask, mask, mask. And I asked the person at the door, I'm like, really? We got to wear a mask? There's a festival. And they're like, well, they probably said, to too many people because nobody had a mask on. And we all knew. And I even said it on the stage. Look, we all knew what we're walking into when we decided to come here. And apparently a couple people, that's it, two got COVID.
Yeah, right. Super spreader. Super spreader event of the decade.
But you know what?
But it was the easy COVID, right? It was the Omicron COVID.
Yeah. It wasn't the OG. It definitely wasn't the OG.
Because those artists had gotten it the first time around. Because that's just part of their job is being out in groups of people. So the second time around. So of all the people that you saw, of all the people, did you see anybody brand new? Because I know that there's times where you've gone and when you discovered Charlie Crockett. And was there anyone brand new this year?
I wouldn't say if they were brand new, but I hadn't heard them live. And you know me, I want to hear a band live before I'm like, oh, yeah, you're the next whoever. And a band called Kinfo came in the studio. And they were fun. Rico, the fiddle player, bubbly, overly energetic, was glad to be there. That's what I always love, an artist that walks in. And they brought the whole band. And they had phenomenal harmonies. And I was genuinely excited for them. I think they won Band of the Year at the Texas Country Music Awards. And you can never tell. I mean, we understand the games of some of the award shows. And
the voting blocks.
Which,
by the way, Scotty Bennett ruining our voting block this year.
Oh, man. I know. We're gonna.
But it might be good for the station. For the station award, because he's bringing in a lot of votes. But for us, me and you, he just cut that right in half.
Yeah, I know. I realize
so
you got two people.
I voted for Scotty.
I did too. But I'll tell you this. I did too because I've won it or we've won it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse in the world. I've said it on the air all week. Oh, I'm just glad to be nominated when they say that. That's total horse shit.
You're lying. As competitive as you are.
Right. I don't like to lose at anything. And so, did I cuss on the podcast?
I'm sorry. You did.
I know it's okay, but no, I hated it a couple of years ago. And I was sitting there talking to Ben Ryan, and I'm having the conversation with him. Ben, they move these around. He goes, "Oh no, yeah, you're going
to
win this again."
Everyone gets a chance to win.
Yeah, and
otherwise,
that's okay.
People would stop coming.
Right, and I think there's a lot of people that work their rear off, and then there's a lot of people that are more visible. And let's be really honest, the people that work their rear off usually aren't as visible. Because they're not getting the light shined on them quite as much. Yeah. Scotty Bennett has worked his rear off.
Agreed.
He deserves it just as much as anybody. That said, when they didn't call my name at the last award show, I'm like,
I'll burn this place
man.
To the ground.
I was upset. I literally was. And I don't like to lose at anything. So
I want everyone to win. But I don't really want to go because I don't have an outfit to wear. But anyway, go back to Music Fest. What was your best? Who was the best performance that you saw? Who brought the house down? And I think I know the answer
to
this.
I'm excited because I got to see Vanilla Ice. That's the one. Like, I want to talk to Vanilla Ice.
Now, is Vanilla Ice performing? Is he a rapper still? Or is he just like the guy that shows up to places? Because I know he was on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune recently. And is he working on a project? Because he's got the TV shows where he comes and fixes up your house.
He's got a million projects. And to be honest, I'm nervous when it's somebody that I know. And
it's Vanilla Ice. I would be nervous.
Yeah, I mean, the guy has one of the most iconic songs, and not like of the year or something.
But for us growing up, like my senior year in high school, when that song came on, it was like, oh yeah, that's the jam.
Well, I talked to him off the air because I didn't want to bring it up on the air. I'm like, you had a lot to do with Bro Country. And I said, that's not a knock, but I said, for about 8 years, I worked in the clubs. And I remember one specifically, and somebody even brought it up to me. Jerry Jeff Walker was playing. And when Jerry Jeff finished his song and singing, we didn't instantly go back into country. We were playing doon 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 doon. You wanted to fill the dance floor.
Song.
And so the DJ started realizing I can mix the Jerry Jeffs of the world and the rap songs of the world. And it started about 1991. Before then, you didn't dare play Baby Got Back right after you played Willie Nelson. And that started what we see today. And it was in the country bars. And once people started liking the country and rap, you put it together, and he kind of laughed it off. But everybody in the room went, never thought of it that way.
Yeah, because country rap.
Right. Country and rap. So I was a little nervous when he walked in. All I could think of is Arsenio Hall and him with that fade and those crazy clothes and doing the dance. And he was so nice. And he didn't walk in with a posse, and he is performing. And I think for a while, Vanilla Ice didn't want to be Vanilla Ice anymore. He wanted to be Rob Van Winkle.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Well, he got
that.
Achy Breaky, he got Billy Ray Cyrus. He had such a big hit, and then there was never another hit.
Just like the guy with the Applebee's song, now it's fun to hate the Applebee's song, but for 3 months you were singing that song.
Oh, no, I worked on the dance really hard. and if you really want to see it, I can total, we fancy like Applebee's on a date night.
That's,
no, he was super cool.
Song.
He is performing again. He's got a new album. He's got the TV show, still riding bikes. And then I'm like, well, what are you going to do in
front
of this?
Right?
Right. Yeah. When I say bikes, motorcycles.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do for this Texas music crowd? Here's the funniest part. I walk backstage and I'm like, wonder how, and he's in the big tent. And that's the big place. What's the big boys play? And it's packed. It's wall to wall. And every Texas country artist you can think of that you would go, well, they're never going to be in here.
They're all backstage.
Hey, Randy. Hey, Parker. Hey, Wade. They're all just sitting there. I'm like, I'm writing y'all all down.
They want to see what Vanilla Ice is going to do.
Right. And you know what he did? He did about 3 of his songs. He played Ice Ice Baby 3rd. I'm like, what are you going to do now? That's all you got. You know, we all know Go Ninja. Go. That's
did
Teenage
he do
Mutant.
That?
He did that like first. And then the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles come out on the stage. He does Ice Ice Baby. And then he's just started. It was basically a DJ party. It's him and a drummer on stage. And the rest of it is a DJ. And they're just playing all the hits from the 90s. And he's singing along to them and rapping over the top. So, and if you were backstage and you wanted to come on stage and dance,
you could.
Come on up.
Did Parker
Anybody
and Randy come on stage and dance?
No.
Why are they too cool? They're too cool for that.
Well, honestly, there was a lot of people that were too cool.
It was Kevin Fowler. Come on, tell me Kevin Fowler ran on stage and started dancing.
Fowler was, the only people
Copper Chief went on stage and started dancing.
Oh, Rio would have been perfect.
Right?
I would have loved to seen him up there. And frankly, if everybody got Parker and Vanilla Ice confused when I put out a picture.
Until you get close up together.
Right. Vanilla Ice does not look like he's 53, by the way.
I know.
I spent too much time on it. But I literally was a little, you know,
starstruck.
I wouldn't say starstruck. Yeah, when he came in. And by the end of it, he was just super cool.
But you're glad he was nice. Because, I mean, there's nothing worse than like feeling like
there's
a dork.
Nothing worse than one of the
having
people.
Having to interview somebody that doesn't want to be interviewed and makes you feel stupid for having to do it.
And I've done that before. And I won't say a name, but they're one of my favorite people. And they had done an interview with me before.
It's
and
the
I was
podcast,
so excited.
You can say.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it. I'm not. Because I still want to go eat Thanksgiving dinner with her and her family. Do not say it, just in case. But you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, just because you have a crush on her.
There's that. But yeah, she wanted to be there the first time, second time, not so much. And it was 10 minutes and out. And you expect that sometimes. And frankly, I just wanted a picture. And I got it. And he was good. And the crowd loved him. The artist that I really wanted, I was nervous to sit down and have a conversation. Because you remember several years back, our South by Southwest showcase, the headliner right after he won The Voice
was
Sundance Head.
And he showed up. There's no worse show for an artist than trying to get him into an environment like South By. Like, because you want them to be comfortable and you want everything to be easy for them. But South By is just so hard. And
well, in particular, where we were that night. And we had no security. And whoever wanted to come backstage was backstage. So you had fans in amongst the rest of the artists. And there were a bunch of artists there.
Oh,
that
I remember that year. Yeah.
Parker, Randy, Coe
Wetzel. It wasn't really a backstage. It was more of a side stage.
No. It was come and enjoy yourself. And if you want to hang out with these artists backstage, just walk on back. And if you're a pretty girl.
Unless you're an artist.
Yeah. Unless you're an artist that wants a little bit of privacy. And when you show up, there's 500 people backstage.
Or you want to take a minute to get in the zone before you go on stage.
Right.
You don't get there.
Exactly.
There's none of that moment to be had.
So he shows up with his band. They're the headliner. They're the big show. And walks backstage. There's no room, and people are bumping into him. And you can just see, I can see in their eyes. I'm like, oh no. And I haven't met the guy yet. It's our introduction to him. And yes, by the end of the night, they didn't like any part of it. I don't blame them. They get on stage, and the speakers blow.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
I had left by then.
They're Sprite. You were gone. And I was just hell bent on let's get Sundance because the guy can sing. And I forgot that he actually, that band slept at Lee Hudson's house that night.
I forgot. Because
we couldn't
about
get a hotel.
That.
Yeah. So I get on stage at Music Fest with him, a little apprehensive because I'd seen him at an award show and we were backstage. Nobody was with us. And I apologized then. And then his dad had just died, Roy Head. And I started talking about, you know, me and my dad about grief and grieving and dealing with it. And you were at this show, and I don't know if you remember, but he walks out after we have a conversation about our dads and what they meant to us and how they were our heroes. And we're both emotional about it backstage. Well, he walks out and looks up on the big TV, and what do? They play a tribute to his dad. And then he walks out on stage to sing and starts the first verse. And stops and is like, man, I wasn't ready for that. And I didn't. So I had two public apologies during my interview with Sundance Head, but I forgot how great that guy is. And I haven't been in a room. I haven't been in a room in a while where people were just, you've been at Steamboat before. What starts off as a listening room, it ends up sometimes it's just drunk people in the back. They just, hey, I found a room and woo, we're going to drink and we're going to talk through all the songs and we don't care.
Yeah.
And you can't really tell them to shut up. But somebody that's has a phenomenal vocal and can basically sing like they're screaming at you in tune can shut up a crowd. And he did. Once he started singing, it was silence. And then it was amazing. And his wife is a hoot, and he's hilarious. He could do stand up comedy if he wanted to. So yeah, for me, that was great to hang out with Stoney. And you know, we did a show with him, and he was super nice. And I did the Braun Brothers reunion, and that was an S show of fun, meaning that
those guys are crazy having a good time.
Oh, they're picking on each other, and you know,
like a
waves
roast
coming up. Yeah, it was a roast. And that's pretty much what that is. And all these different artists are jumping on stage. So for me, and I even told some of the guys when I got back home, I'm like, it was like a family reunion. We always hear that. But it's one that got taken away from you for a couple of years. And don't know what you got till it's gone. But that one.
And everyone came
for sure,
home sick.
Yeah.
Had to cancel, their show with Florida Georgia Line.
I've come home with pneumonia.
Like Parker.
Twice. The flu.
I've come home with the flu.
Hurt right. I came home knocking on something fairly healthy. So,
and your wife was good?
Yeah. She was good.
She didn't catch any
the kids.
Sniffles.
I didn't see them. Yeah. I didn't see any of them.
But they were off in the mountains skiing, having a good time.
Oh, they skied and they had the best time of their life. And, I'm up, interviewing Bruce Robinson and the rest of the gang. By the way, how about that news? Who saw that coming?
That one really took me aback. If you haven't heard, a conscious uncoupling of Bruce and Kelly.
Yeah, and they made it sound like we still love each other. We're still going to raise our kids. I kind of get it. I do. You can still love your significant other and your family and not necessarily get along anymore. And I think the pandemic did that for a lot of people, and the same industry does that for a lot of people as well. So you have two really high personalities. So, yeah.
Well, we wish them the best.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, Music Fest, had a lot of fun. And then, it usually takes me about 2 or 3 weeks to kind of catch up on my brain cells. But all right, before we get out of here on our first ever Rita and Reigns podcast, I know for one that you have become a Cowboys fan. Did you just go all of a sudden turn the TV on? Did it have anything to do with you visited the Cowboys stadium?
Well, what happened was we started watching Hard Knocks on HBO, the TV show Hard Knocks. And so I kind of got to know the characters and Zeke and...
Characters. Like it's a movie.
Like it's not real. I got to learn the characters.
Well, apparently it wasn't real, honestly.
And so then we went to... one Saturday we went and we took the tour of AT&T Center, which if you've never done that, it's really fun. We had a really good a guide. And you get to go.
You had a great guard.
We had a great guide. I guess they did guard you from certain parts of the area that you're not allowed to go into. But it was super fun. And so it became something for me and my husband to do every Sunday, and was to watch the Cowboys. And so I really, really, really got into it this year and was just a straight up Cowboys fan. And we even got superstitious, like we would order wings on Sunday. And the next Sunday, we had to order the same exact order if the Cowboys won. Because if we ordered something different, that could jinx the Cowboys.
Sure.
So we really got into it, where we had our little rituals, and we did the same things on game day. And everyone talks about how the Cowboys will break your heart. And I was just like, whatever, they're great. Cowboys are great. When they lost the other night, I was devastated. I just couldn't believe it. I was so mad. I was so mad at them for losing. And then I finally get why y'all used to be the way you were about the Longhorns. Not so much anymore, because you're used to them not winning. But
well, most people, Rita, are used to the Cowboys
not
losing.
Winning. Yeah, exactly.
Just the way they did. I mean, even though they were like 12-5 going, or 12-4 going into the playoffs, whatever it was. I think about this. Haven Medrano, 27 years old. He's never known the Cowboys to be a winning team.
Oh,
he never knew those super. And frankly, you really never have, because you weren't a fan.
Whenever I was in college, we would all watch the game on Sundays. And Troy Aikman was great. We loved Troy Aikman, number 8. I know in my dorm, I lived in an all-girls dorm, there's a huge stand-up poster of Troy Aikman on the wall. So I knew of the...
At the commune?
No. In Lantana Hall.
So are you going to try next year to be a fan?
Nope,
now
I
that
can't
you're...
do it. No, I don't want to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's like a bad TV show that had a bad ending and you're out.
Exactly. I can't. Right. I can't be loyal. They broke.
Well, I'm glad. Well,
it depends on if
that's
if,
a lot of
depends on if Hard Knocks shows them again. I think.
No, they won't. They usually don't go to the same team twice.
Yeah. So
I'm
done.
You can go back. You can go back and I'm glad that you tried to watch football.
I did. We got really into it.
You and your husband bonding.
I do understand the game a lot more now than I did. Now, my poor husband having to explain everything to me and having to explain what happened the other night was ridiculous. I don't know if I can do it.
It didn't work.
I don't know if I can do it again. I even got like a Cowboys t-shirt and everything.
Did you?
Yeah, I got it for Christmas. Well, it was a Christmas gift.
Well, Rita, we're going to have to wrap up the first ever Rita and Reigns podcast.
Well, it was good talking to you.
Well, it is.
Since no one remembers me anymore.
Oh, that's not right. So we'll be doing this once a week, at least.
I got to come up with things to talk about.
Oh, look, we said there's nothing to talk about, and we now have talked for 45 minutes.
42.
Okay, 42, and here's the other part. I haven't done my 3 o'clock show yet.
Oh. Well, you better go. You've got 4 minutes to your first break.
Rita Ballou, live from wherever. What's the town again?
Crowley, Texas.
Crowley, Texas. The Rita and Rains podcast, number one. Not to be the last.
In the books.
In the books. Back after this.